Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Chagiga Daf Chaf Beis. We were holding six lines from the top on the Omid. Yesterday's Bot discussed the concept of Kli B'tuch Kli. It's the first item in the Mishnah. Can you stack one Kli inside the other and do Tevilah? Well, it depends what for. In preparation of a carbon, you may not do so. For Truma, it's okay. And why not for a carbon? We have two pshatim. Rav Ila, Chatzitza. It might be too tight and create that barrier between the Kli and the water. The mikvah water might not come into contact where the Kalim meet each other inside. It's a Chatzitza concern. Rav tells us, no, it's unrelated to Chatzitza. Rather, the gzera is, the concern is that he might be using a narrow kli, a kli whose mouth, whose opening is too narrow to allow proper flowing, proper connectivity between mikveh and water inside the kli. The minimum shear for that opening must be kishvay feres hanoi, the size of a cylinder, some sort of straw, used to draw water out of the noid of the leather pouch, which the Gemara determines to be kishtei etzbois, about two finger widths wide. So a circle with a diameter of a bit more than two fingers. That is the minimum size for that hole between the two bodies of water. That's considered a connection. So if he uses a kli b'tuch kli, that outside kli might be too narrow to allow for proper flowing of water, for proper connectivity, in which case the water inside the kli is really disconnected from the mikveh outside. It's because of the mayim she'uvin, drawn in the kli, which are disqualified for use for tevila. So according to Rava, that's why we disallow any sort of tevila of kli b'toich kli, on account of that concern. Says the Gemara, six lines from the top, Ma'ika. Ben de Rava, or the Rav Ila, is there any halachic nafkamina between the two pshatim, whether it's a chatzitza concern or a shveferes hanoid concern about the narrowness of the connection, of the opening of the kli? Ikib, now there is a nafkamina, salve gargusni. You have a large basket, or a gargusni, which is a very large basket used as a strainer. Rashi says they would run the wine through it, wine out of the wine press. It would strain the inedibles. And this type of utensil is very wide. You never have a narrow sala, narrow gargusni, right? So in this case, shemilam kelim b'itbil, and fill them with kelim and put them to the mikvah that way. Lamanda amar shem chatzitza ika, according to Rav Ila. Kli b'tuch kli is unacceptable because of a chatzitza concern, because of the tightness. Because it weighs down on the outer kli and there's a barrier formed over there. So even by a salv gargusni, the same concern applies. But according to Rav, who presented the reason, the concern for kli b'tuch kli as follows, that it might lead to, next time we hear, he'll take a machat, a little needle, tzinurius, little forks, little utensils, and in order to keep them safe and sound, he might put them into another kli and put the entire concoction into the water. So you might be matbil is machtem tzeneris bikli she'em by kishveferes hanoid, bikli she'em bepiv kishveferes hanoid, in a kli whose mouth is too narrow, doesn't conform to shveferes hanoid, is less than two finger widths wide, which basically disconnects the water within it from the water in the mikvah. And on account of this concern, we disallow any sort of tefillah of kli b'tuch kli. According to Rava, well, this wouldn't apply in our case of a salve gargusni, because, you know, these things are usually wide. Salve gargusni she'en bepien kishveferes hanoid leka. We never find a sal or gargusni with such narrow mouths. So the gzera doesn't apply. V'azer Rava l'tame. In fact, Rava follows his own shita, stated elsewhere. Dama Rava, salve gargusni shemilon kelim vid bilan tahir. If you took a sal or gargusni, filled them with kelim, put them to make it a tahir. What's the concern? Gzera, that he might use a kli with a narrow mouth? You never have a narrow sal, a narrow gargusni. Rabbi continues, U'mikveh shecholka b'sal v'gargusni. However, if you take a sal and gargusni and run it right through the mikveh, right in the middle of the mikveh, you split the mikveh into two parts, and the sal is higher than the mikveh. It reaches above the water level. So you effectively split that mikveh into two, and on each side you have less than a sheer water, less than the required measure of water for the mikveh, less than 40 sa. HaTovel Shom Lo'yosu Le'Tfila. If you use that water, you're not Yotzer. You're not Tovel. Because here he split the mikveh into two. He ran that sal right across the middle, from side to side, from top to bottom. He separated between two sides of the mikveh, disqualified for use. Now you might ask a question. This sal is not solid material. This gargusni is perforated. So why can't both sides of that mikveh connect to each other through the sal? The answer is, that doesn't work. Da'ara kula, chalchuli machalchal. Because really, the entire earth is full of channels and streams and holes. Nobody's going to say, well, a little puddle of water anywhere inside planet Earth is is considered 40 sa. What do you mean? It is, because it's somehow connecting deep down. There's, you know, lots of channels and water systems running below the surface of the earth. Right? That's why when you dig down, you find water. Because we have all these underground channels running to and fro, and ultimately they connect to a greater river somewhere at the end of the road. So why don't we consider every stream, every puddle, every bottle of water in the ground as though it's 40 sa? No, we require 40 sa in one spot, even though ultimately they all connect to some large body of water. It doesn't help because it's disconnected. In order to connect two bodies of water, you need a shveferis hanuit. You need to have a wide enough connection. The channel has to be at least two finger widths wide. That makes for an effective connection between two pots of water. This mikveh has been split along its middle through a sal, a gargusni. So although the sal has holes and perforation, it doesn't matter because it's not wide enough. It's not shveferis hanuit. V'hani milu b'klitor. Says the Gemara, you meant to know. When we say kli b'tor, kli doesn't work. Because the outer kli needs to be sufficiently open. Needs to allow enough of a flow. A shefers hanoid amount of water. That's if the outer kli is tor. And he's trying to be tevil the inner kli, which has now been disconnected from the mikveh because the mouth is too narrow to connect the two waters outside and inside of the kli. I will be kli tummy, but let's say the kli itself is tummy, and you're putting another kli tummy inside it, then it works. Irrespective of how narrow that mouth is. You know why? Migu du salka tvila le kule gufa de mana. Since tvila is being applied to the entire outer kli, we treat both kelim as though they're one kli, one unit. It's one package deal. Salka le unami le kelim de isbe de tvila is effective even with respect to the kelim embedded in the outer kli. So if the outer kli is tor and not in need of tvila, he's just trying to immerse the inner kelim, and the inner kelim are now disconnected because the mouth of that outer kli is too narrow to allow for a proper connection between the mikveh and the water inside, then you have a problem. But if the outer kli is also included in the tvila process, it's also tummy and in need of tvila. So you're being tevil the entire thing with the inside, with the outside, with the kelim. Everything goes together. It's like one kli. This none. Kelim shim milon kelim bit bilon. If he took a kli, filled it with more kelim bit bilon, and immersed the entire thing, hara elu toirim. It works. But if he didn't toivel it, maim hamuravim. So when you want to mix two bodies of water together, you want to connect two bodies, how do you connect it? Ashiyu muravim kishvei feres hanoid. It only works if the channel that's connecting the two bodies of water is wide enough, like a shveres hanoid, as we explained earlier. Now, what does this Mishnah mean? Maika amar v'im lo tavol. What do you mean he didn't he was tavol. He just said he was tavol the kli with other kelim inside. Hakam, he meant like this. He meant, well, it depends if the outer kli needs tvila or not. That's what he meant. So if the outer kli that contains the kelim inside is in need of a tefillah, then we view it as one package and it's all fine. But vim einoy tzorech lahatpila, if the outer kli is not in need of tefillah istar, and he contains kelim inside himself, but the mouth, the peh of that outer kli is not wide enough to allow for proper flow of water, proper connection. Or umayim uraven, you have two separate bodies of water. There's another example. Each one holds only 20 sa. You're trying to connect those two bodies of water. So in either case, again, either if the outer kli is not in need of a tefillah and he's holding inside him kelim, but they're being blocked because the channel is not wide enough. Or if you just have two bodies of water and you want to connect them and make them to one mikvah, you must follow the principle of a sheferes hanoit. Ache yu muraven, kishvei feres hanoit. Okay, so bottom line is, according to Rava, we're concerned about an hour mouth, and that's why we don't allow tefillah of a kli inside another kli. When does this concern not apply? We came up with two examples. By a salva gargusni, which never have narrow mouths. They're wide open. Or in a case where the outer kli is in need of a tefillah. So we view the outer kli and its content as though it's one package and the tefillah works. You should know that this question of how to learn our Mishnah, Rav is Mahalach, and Rav Ila is Mahalach, which we had yesterday. He's concerned about Chatzitza. Right, so these two pshatim, in explanation of the first halacha, the Mishnah, why don't we do kli b'toch kli, either chatzitza based or shefer sanoid concern? Tanoi is really machlekes tanoi. The sanya sal v'gargusni, shemilon kelim v'edvilon. Takes a sal, a gargusni, fills them with kelim, and is toil the entire thing. Bein l'kodesh, bein l'trumah tahir. Those kelim are now deemed tahir, whether for kachim, whether for truma. Why? Tanakama follows Rava's explanation. The concern by kli b'toch kli is because of that narrow mouth possibility. A salva gargusni never contained that concern, and therefore it works. Aba sholay merno l'truma v'le l'kodesh. If you took kelim and you immersed it inside a salva gargusni into the mikvah, it works for truma because kli b'toch kli is effective for truma, but not for kachim. Why? Abba Shaw learns like Rabbi Ila. Is a chatzitza concern? What difference does it make if it's this kli or that kli or a sal or a gargusni? Fact is, the kelim are tightly stacked. Doesn't work for kach. Okay, continues the Gemara. We don't understand what's going on. We're concerned about chatzitza. We're concerned about a disconnection from the mikvah, whether according to Rabbi Ila, according to Rav, whatever the reason is. Why is this chashash only for karbonis and not for truma? This is a real concern. An improper tefillah doesn't work for truma either. Yachi truma nami. Why don't we have the same concern for truma? Leman Karmina answers the Gemara, who are we speaking for? Who are we instructing? Who's coming to ask us the shaila? Does this tefillah work or not? Who's speaking? Who's asking? Chaverim. Chaver is a term for a fellow who keeps higher standards. He's coming to ask. And Am Aretz is not concerned about these things, right? So the chaver is coming to ask the question. Chaverim made the yadi. Well, the chaver who's asking is knowledgeable. He's well versed in these halachas. So when it comes to truma, he'll know. He'll know that he has to make sure that it's not stacked tightly. He'll know that it has to be wide enough to allow proper flow of water. What do you mean? Yachi kedesh nami. And then when it comes to preparing for karbanis, there's no concern there as well. He's well versed. He's knowledgeable. Answers the Gemara, Chazli Am Ha'aretz. True, we're not concerned about the chaver, who's knowledgeable, but you know what happens when the chaver does this? He stacks kelim in his tevilet. The Am Ha'aretz, who observes him, who's looking for him, who's looking and watching him, he's going to imitate him. Chaz le'amartz v'oz le'matpul. He'll do the same. He'll stack kelim by him. You never know what's going on. Maybe it's tight. Maybe it's going to lead to a case of a narrow mouth. So that's why we don't allow even a chaver to do kli b'toch kli for kachim. Well, truma nami chaz le'amartz v'oz le'matpul. So then by truma as well. You're not concerned about the chaver per se. concern is that a ma'aretz might be observing him and might imitate him. So when he's doing tefillah for truma, same concern applies. A ma'aretz is watching him. He'll do the same when he's matbil for his truma. Loi mekablina minayu. Who takes truma from a ma'aretz? Nobody takes truma from a ma'aretz. So even if he does kli b'tech kli for truma, no harm will come. Well, kodesh nami lo nekabel minayu. So when it comes to karbanis, you are concerned. Don't allow anybody to do kli b'tech kli. Even the chaver can't do it because the ma'aretz might follow suit. What's the concern? Don't accept kachem material from a ma'aretz. Havi le'eva. It's going to create animosity and machlikis. You can't not accept karbanis material from ma'aretz, and therefore you have to be careful that the ma'aretz will not be led to do things which are unacceptable. You have to make sure that his karban material is properly prepared, and therefore we avoid doing anything that can create some sort of complication with the ma'aretz's kachim material. So when it comes to kachim preparation, we're careful. We avoid kli b'tichli. Well, truma nami havi le'eva. So you have to accept it. It's an asachim, it's karbanis. You're concerned about animosity in machlekes. So how could it be that by truma you avoid the ma'aretz? You don't accept from him animosity. Well, yechvasle, he doesn't care. Some artist doesn't care if you don't accept his truma. He'll give it to somebody else. He'll give it to his friend, Amaretz Kayin. The Azul Yarvele, the Kayin Amaretz Chavre, he'll give it to his friend, the Kayin Amaretz. When it comes to Kachin, there's only one address, the Mesa Migdash. We don't accept it, it's going to create Eva. So you have no choice, you have no alternative. You have to accommodate the Amaretz as well. So that's why we take extra precaution. We don't do Kli B'tech Kli Bar Kachin because we want Amaretz to do the same. This will ensure that his karbanis are kaddish. His karbanis are properly guarded and tahor. Uman tana dechayish la'eva. Where do we find that there's a tana concerned about this eva, this animosity element? Rabbi Yosi, the sani, or Rabbi Yosi. Why is it that we find the following halacha? Hakoyel ne'emanin al taras yain v'shemen kol yemes hashana. Throughout the year, we accept wine, oil from even an ama'aretz. Throughout the year. Not just during Yom Tov. When it comes to carbon material, we accept from Amaretz. Typically, Amaretz is not ne'eman. It's not trusted when it comes to Tumah v'Tahara. So why do we accept? Kedei, for this very reason, Kedei shelo yehei kol echad v'echad hoylech u'boine b'mer la'atzma. We don't want the Amaretz to go disconnect from our religion, create his own religion, make a new b'mer, make a mizbeach and be makriv there. He'll feel rejected. If we don't accept him here, I'll go find an alternative. Which would be Makrivis Karbonis. Vesedev Paradum al-Atzma. If we don't include him in all these communal experiences, Paradum, etc., he'll make his own Paradum. So when it comes to communal institutions, you have to include everybody. All elements of Kal Yisrael. Amar Papa. Likewise, Keman Mekablinan Ha'idna Sa'adus Me'am Aretz. In accordance with whose Shita do we trust the testimony presented by Ma'aretz? Because there are those that hold that you don't believe in Amaretz. We do. Kiman Rabbi Yosi. Again, in line with Rabbi Yosi, we're concerned about Eva. We don't want the Amaretz to go in despair. He'll go create his own, establish his own court system. We don't want that to happen. So we have to respect them. We have to include them in all of our communal institutions. Okay, so bottom line is, we are not matbil kli b'tech kli when it comes to kachim. We're concerned not about the chaver who's coming to ask. He knows. He'll be careful to avoid chatzitza. He'll be careful with the shiferes hanoid halacha. Problem is the amaretz who's observing him might imitate what he's doing and might do it wrong. So when it comes to truma, we're not concerned because in any case we don't accept the amaretz as truma. But when it comes to kachim, we have to accept it. So we have to ensure that it's done properly. Says the Gemara, fine. You don't accept truma from amaretz, but you surely borrow his kelim. It's common practice amongst Jews to borrow each other's kelim. We're going to see in the following Mishnah. We're going to prove this point all the way down to the middle of Amud Beis. We're going to prove this point that people borrow from each other. So although we don't accept his truma, we don't eat his truma, but we borrow his kelim and we use it for truma. So how can you be Tevel Kli B'Tei Kli in the presence of an Amaretz? He might imitate. He might not do it properly. In which case his Kli is Tami, and then you go and you borrow his Kli. So we're going to proceed with the whole discussion here. We were just going to prove this point. Just this one point that we do borrow from the Amaretz. It's going to take us all the way to the middle of Amri Beis. I'm going to get back to our discussion, but in the meantime we're going to get sidetracked, so to speak, into another Mishnah, into the whole debate between Mishnah and Basilo. But again, let's just keep focused. We're trying to prove this one point that we borrow Kalim from an Amaretz. And that's the basis for our Kasha now. So that should pose a concern. You can't be Tevil anytime if it's Kli B'Tei Kli, because Amaretz might follow suit, in which case his Kli will become Tamei, and how can you borrow it from him? So where do we find that we borrow Kalim from our Amaretz? V'neich l'sha'ela, why are we concerned about borrowing? It's not. Kli Cheres Matzel Al HaKol. Divrei Beis Hillel. A Kli Cheres can protect anything, according to Beis Hillel. So we have two examples. Rashi says it can either be speaking about the halacha of tzomet pasul. There's a mace in a home. There's tum in a home. You have a kli cheres, a clay kli, which is totally sealed. It protects anything within it from that tum. That's one example of the kli cheres matzal al koil. Or, as Rashi says, let's say there's tum on floor one. You have another floor on top of it. Between both floors of that home, you have a gap, some sort of skylight. And on that skylight, on that aruba, on that window, on that opening, you have a kli cheres sitting there. And we know that the exterior, the gaboy, the back of the kli cheres, deflects tumah. So it's sitting on that window. That protects anything, any item found in that second floor. It presents a barrier. It doesn't allow the tumah to rise into the second floor. Kli cheres matzel al hakol. It's going to be a seal, whatever is in the kli that's sealed, or it's in the second floor, protected by that kli sitting on the, whatever the case is, it effectively protects anything, whether it's utensils, food, drink. B'shama Imrim, no. It protects some things, but not others. Eini matzel ella al oichlim val mashkim val kli cheres. It protects food, drink, or other kli cheres. But not something called kli shetef. It's called kli shetef because you rinse it, you put it in the mikvah, like a metal kli. When it comes tummy, put it into the mikvah. So it doesn't protect that type of kli. Only food, drink, or kli cheres. Amru lehem beis hillel beis shamay. What's going on? How can you have that selective approach here? Mipnei ma? Why is it that the kli cheres is going to protect food, drink, and kli cheres, but not regular kelim? Amru beis shamay. You know why? Mipnei shu tamei al gabei ma'aretz. Because we're speaking about a kli which belongs to ma'aretz, which is considered, for practical purposes, we consider like it's tamei, because he's not careful, he's not well versed in the halachis. So this kli cheres that's trying to protect is really tamei. And we know that a kli which is tamei can't protect. The tumah shoots right through it. Ve'en kli tamei choytet, it can't protect. Amr lam beis hillel, okay, I accept that, but v'aloyti hartem oichlenu mashkin shebetoicha, didn't you say that the kli cheres is protecting food or drink which it contains? Well, if it's tamei and it can't protect, why is it protecting food and drink? Amr lam beis shamay, you know why? Kishetiharnu oichlenu mashkin shebetoicha, when we consider this kli cheres a sufficient protection for food and drink, we won't tire it only for the sake of the Amaretz. It benefits the Amaretz. He's the only one eating and drinking his food. Nobody's taking from him. The Chavar never borrows, never takes his food and drink. He doesn't trust him. There's nothing you can do with food and drink. Can't be toivlet. The Chavar keeps far away from the Amaretz's food and drink. So what's the worst thing we're doing? We're telling the Amaretz that his food and drink is tar. In any case, he doesn't pay too much attention to Tumah V'Tahara. And same thing with Kli Cheres. Nobody borrows the earthenware Kalim of Amaretz. Nothing you can do with it. You can't be Tevel it. So when we consider these things to be Torah, la'atzme tiharnu, it only benefits the Amoritz. The chaver, the fellow who keeps higher standards, won't be affected, won't be adversely affected by this halacha, because in any case, he doesn't borrow these items. But how can we be metar? How can we consider a metal utensil to be protected in this manner? By doing so, we are really affecting you as well, because you're going to borrow that kli from the Amoritz. The tahara affected, the tahara status applied to the metal kli affects not just him, it affects you and him, because that's something you borrow from him. Okay, the Gemara will soon elaborate further, but this is the first response. This is the way Beis Shammai responded to Beis Hillel. We consider the kli of the Amoritz to be tummy. It's not a proper barrier, it's not a proper protector. So it can't protect metal kelim. Because if we'll say that it's protected, we're going to be machshel the chaver when he comes to borrow his kelim. So bottom line is we see that the chaver borrows kelim from the Amoritz. Okay, we're going to get to that in a minute. But first, let's proceed with this debate. Tanya. Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Boishni medivreichem Beis Shammai. You know what? I'm embarrassed from your words, Beis Shammai. How can this be? Isn't this a standing contradiction? You're telling me that the kli protects from one thing and doesn't protect for the other. It protects for food and drink and kli cheres, but not for other kelim. Efshe isha lo shebarev. Can it be so that an isha sitting and kneading dough in this bowl on the second floor of the house, and the isha varev atme, the woman and the kli are tame, because the kli cheres situated between the floors won't protect the isha and the arev, right? The Tmein Shiva, the Tumah for 7 days, as though they came into contact with the Tumah that's on the first floor, that shoots all the way up and affects them. Ubatzak Tar, and the food inside, and the dough inside the bowl remains Tar. How can that be? Isn't that a Stira Mineu Bey? Another example, Loigan Malay Mashkin, you have a container filled with liquid sitting on the second floor. Loigan Tumah Tumah Shiva, so the container, a wooden container, metal container, gets Tumah Shiva. It's affected by the mace down on floor one, Hamash can turn, and the content of that kli, the liquid, remains tar. How can that be? Isn't that the strangest thing? Says Rabbi Shua to Beis Shammai, I'm embarrassed from your words. How can you say shalacha? Nitfaloi Talmud Echot, Talmud Beis Shammai. One in Talmud Beis Shammai approaches Rabbi Shua. Amalei, he tells him, would you allow me to explain it to you? Should I explain to the Taman Shel Beis Shammai? Want me to explain to you? Amar Lo Yisrael, Rabbi Shua says, Adarab, Amar, please be my guest. Amar Lo Yisrael, the Talmud asks Rabbi Shua, let me ask you a question. Kli Tami, Chaitit Yene Chaitit. Let's say Kli is really Tami. Can it protect from Tuma? Is it Chaitit? Does it present that barrier? Or Yene Chaitit? Or is it an ineffective protector? Of course it can't protect. Next question. Kli shel Amoritz, kli that belongs to Amoritz, tamei or tor? Is it deemed to be tamei or tor? Amar lo tamei, so he says tamei, of course. The Talmud continues. Let's say the chaver tells Amoritz, you know, your kli is considered tamei. Klu mashgiach alecha? Does he pay any attention to you? He throws you out the door. What are you talking about? My kli is tummy, your kli is tummy. V'loyoy, not only that, elashim ato emeloy tummy. If you even suggest that his kli is tummy, he tells you, ay melacha, shali tar, my kli is tar, v'shalcha tummy, yours is tummy. Right? V'zeu taman shal Beis Shammai. Says the Talmud, you want to know something? I'll tell you a secret. This very point that I just suggested to you, that I just presented to you, that is the reason for Beis Shammai's halacha. So Rashi and Tesis both explain like this. Rashi explains it one way, Tesis adds like this. We are concerned about a chaver misusing the kelim of the Amoritz, using his kelim thinking that it's Torah. So we want to protect the chaver, right? That's what we're trying to do. That's our ultimate goal. The Maritz himself, he does his own thing. We're trying to protect the integrity of the Chavar, right? So the Chachamim came up with this wonderful formula. They said like this, you should know, everybody should know, this is a universal halacha. A Kli Cheres only affects a partial protection. It can only protect from food, drink. It can only protect food, drink, and Kli Cheres. Why? Because we're concerned about the Kli Cheres that's forming that protection, that's blocking the tumah from rising into the second floor, or blocking the tumah from entering its own self. We're concerned that that kli might be a kli vama aretz, which is tummy, which is an ineffective barrier, ineffective protector, right? So on account of that scenario, Chachamim established a blanket rule. You should know kli cheres never protects for, never forms a protection for the following items: food, drink, or kli cheres. You know why? Because in any case, nobody borrows that from the amaretz. Nobody takes that from the amaretz. You can't do anything with this food, drink, or kli cheres. It can't be toivel, food, drink, or kli cheres. You have to break the kli cheres. Food and drink doesn't have tara at all. So nobody partakes in those items from Am HaAretz. So therefore they said, you know what? Let's consider them to be tar. Because in any case, the chaver won't take it. Not only that, if we pull the string too much and we say, well, Kli Cheres doesn't protect anything, well, the Am HaAretz won't listen to us. He won't listen to us. So we gave him that. We said, you know what? Every Kli Cheres can protect food, drink, or Kli Cheres. Because in any case, it won't present a pitfall for the Chaver. Leave it alone. But, listen to this Chap. A Kli Cheres cannot protect a wooden Kli, a metal Kli. Why do we say that? Because we're concerned that the Kli will belong to Am HaAretz. Kli Cheres, that's protecting the wooden Kli, belongs to Am HaAretz. That Kli Cheres, which is Tami, can't do a Chatzitza, can't protect, because it's a Kli Tami. And then the Chavar the next day will come and borrow that wooden Kli, not realizing that it was an Oil HaMeis. And the Maritz won't tell him anything. He'll just use it. He'll use it bituma. So we say, you know what? Every Kli Cheres does not form a Chatzitza, does not form a barrier, is not an effective protector for Kalim. Wooden, metal, Kalim. And the Maritz doesn't realize that this halacha was directed at him. This halacha was created because of the concern that the Am HaAretz's Kli is going to be the one protecting, and the Am HaAretz's Kli is an effective protector because it's tummy. He won't realize that. He won't realize that it's directed at him. He'll think it's a universal halacha, and it really is. Chacham established it as a universal blanket, wall-to-wall halacha. You should know a Kli Cheres is an ineffective protector when it comes to Kalim. Wooden kelim, metal kelim, which chaverim borrow from the Am HaAretz. So Am HaAretz is not aware of the rationale behind the halacha. He just knows it's a halacha. He won't ask questions. And therefore, when a chaver comes to borrow his wooden kli or his metal kli, he'll know to tell him, well, you know, this wasn't inside a kli cheres, inside a oil ames, it wasn't protected. They won't take it. The Am HaAretz doesn't take it personally. He'll think it's just a general halacha. He'll be careful to either inform the chaver, he'll be careful to not run into such a situation. If it runs into a situation, he'll be matar the wooden kli, the metal kli. So this ensures the integrity of the chaver's kelim. This protects the chaver from borrowing, from unknowingly borrowing a tamei kli from the Am HaAretz. And the Am HaAretz will go along with it, because it was a limited halacha pertaining to wooden kelim, to metal kelim. But when it comes to other things, food, drink, and Kli Cheres, we say that even a Kli Cheres can protect and form a Chatzitza from the Meis. V'zo, Tamei Shel Beis Shammai. Now you understand Beis Shammai's reason? It was hard to understand, right? We still said, what do you mean? A Kli Cheres sitting inside a skylight only blocks the Tumah from reaching the food, drink, or Kli Cheres upstairs, but doesn't block it from reaching other Kelim. How could that be? Is it an effective protector or not? The answer is, it depends. If it's a proper kli, a kli tar, of course it protects, it blocks. It blocks it from reaching anything. We're concerned about a kli of an Am HaAretz, which is considered tummy. So we have to concoct some sort of plan, some sort of scheme, which will ensure that the chaver who borrowed kelim from the Am Haaretz will be protected. And they only borrow wooden kelim, metal kelim, which can be toivled. That's just the way it is. They don't borrow other kelim. You never know what happened to the other kelim. Chicher said, once it gets tummy, once there's no tar, they don't touch those kelim. Food and drink, they don't touch those things. So the Chacham established a general halacha that a klicheres can only protect food, drink, or other klicheres, but cannot protect regular kelim. This way the Am Haaretz will be careful, or he'll inform the chaver that this metal kli, this wooden kli, was in such a situation and became tummy. And the chaver will keep away from it, or will be tevel it. Hearing this, Rabbi Shua, hearing this wonderful pshat, he changed his mind. He changed his attitude. He regretted the fact that he spoke so harshly. Miyad halach Rabbi Shua went v'nishtateach al kivrei b'shamay, and he went to lie down on the kvarim of b'shamay. What does kivrei b'shamay mean? Maybe it was some of the more prominent talmidim of b'shamay, or it means that he went to the cave where the Talmidim of Beishamai were buried, and he went there and he asked Mechila v'Amar Nanesi Lachem, you know, I spoke too harshly against you at Atzameis, the bones of Beishamai. U'mas Tumash Lachem Kach. Look, if the hidden halachas, the ones that were not properly explained, turn out to be so wonderful and clear, Mefurashas Lachas Kama V'Kama, certainly the ones that were explained properly, of course they're so beautiful, I regret having spoken so harshly against you. Amru, the following was said on Rabbi Shua, called Yamav, throughout his lifetime, Hushcharu Shinov v'pnei Tani Yosef. His teeth got blackened as a result of his multiple fastings to do teshuva for what he said. In any case, having said all this, bottom line is katan emias. At any rate, we just said l'chavalai, that when it comes to kelim, wooden kelim, metal utensils, the halacha applied to those utensils affect l'chavalai, affect you and him. Alma, Shalina, Menayu, it's pretty clear from this mission that we borrow kelim from an Am Haaretz. If that's the case, let's go back to Amar Aleph. Kli b'teich kli. We allow tefillah kli b'teich kli when it comes to things other than kachim. What do you mean? Am Haaretz might be watching you. It might do the same with his kelim. In his case, it might be an ineffective tefillah because it was so tightly stacked, etc. Then you go and you borrow that kli and use it for truma. Or for chulin, you're not realizing that it's tame. Kishalina minayu matbilinilu, very pashit. When you borrow, you tevel it. You don't rely on his testimony, you tevel it. Tesis on Amar actually asks, he says, Tarachin, what was the havamina? Of course, you tevel the kelim of Amar's. You never know what happened to it, so you tevel it. In any case, that's the terrace of the Gemara. Of course, we borrow, we tevel it. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, if you're toivel that kelim, Nihadrulu beisil beishamai. So when beishamai say, you know, we apply this selective, halacha because we're concerned about the chaver borrowing. What do you mean? Let him borrow and you toivel it. So beisil can respond to beishamai, kishalinan minayu. When we borrow the kelim from the amaretz, mat belinulu, aren't we toivel it? So what's the concern? Answers the Gemara. Yeah, that only helps for a low-level tumah, a rishon, a sheni. Then the kli could become tar through trila. But he was speaking about a mace, right? There was a mace in the home, and the kli became tummy tumas mace. Tummy mace boy azov hazov gimu v'zayin. In that case, you have to spray the paraduma water on it. Third day, seventh day, umana l'zayin yoymi loy mushli inshi. Typically, you don't borrow a kli for 7 days, which doesn't allow you to go through the entire process of Tahara from Tumas Meis. So to avoid that situation, we establish a formula which protects and ensures proper Tahara for Kalim that will be given over to the Chavir. Asks the Gemara. Okay, it's like sort of a run-on Gemara. We'll go to the next topic. So you mean to say that the Am Haaretz are typically not trusted when it comes to Tfilas Kalim, at Tfilu Loi Mehemni? Atanya ne'emanan ami aretz al taras tefilas tmei meis. Am Haaretz is believed. He's trusted. He says that his kli was not didn't become tummy through a mace. Amar Abaye, depends what he's speaking about, himself or a kli. Like Asha, haba gufay, haba kelev. On his own personal body, no personal self, that stands more prominently in the eyes of the Amoraites, he's very careful with that. He's trusted, he's to be believed if he says, I didn't touch a mace. But his keli, he doesn't pay attention to his keli. The only way to use the kli of Amoraites is by being toivlet, or by being du hazor, gimel v'zayin, if there's a chashash of tumas mace. Rava Amar, individ v'keli. You know what? Both discussions, our discussion and the Brisa, are speaking about the kelim of the Amoraites. So do we believe him or not? We say we don't, and the Brisa seems to indicate that he is Neman. Like Kasha, depends what he is claiming. If he says, you know what, I never did a kli inside a kli. I just never did that. So he's trusted. When we say that the Amoraites is not to be trusted when it comes to Tefillas Kelim, that's if he says, look, I stacked Kelim. I put one aside the other, but I was careful. The mouth of the outer kli should be wide enough, should be sufficiently wide to create that proper effective connection between the water outside and inside. So the Amoraites is not he's not deliberately misleading us, he's just not learned, he's not well versed in these halachas. So you never know what really happened. He thinks it was wide enough, but it wasn't. So he's not to be believed. But if he's saying, look, I never did that. I always do one kli at a time. I take my time. One kli at a time, he's believed. But Tanya, we find a similar halach in the following price. So it depends what he's claiming. And Amoraites is to be trusted if he says, look, I know for a fact that these peiros never got wet. Never became hukshul kabal tuma. He's believed. But if he claims that they got hukshar, they got wet, but I'm telling you, they never became tummy. He doesn't know what tummy. He's not well versed. He's not an expert, so you can't trust him. So we see this chiluk between what he's claiming. So factual stuff he's believed on, but halachic stuff he's not believed on. Now back to Abaye, who tells us that on the Amoraites, his guf, he has ne'emanus. Guf mimehem, he's to be trusted on his own guf. Atanya. Chaver shebola hazois. If a chaver, a fellow who keeps higher standards, comes to the Beis Hamikdash, comes to the Paraduma Center, he wants to get hazor of May Paradum. He says, "Look, I'm holding on day 3, right? Because you have to wait. It's a 7-day process. You get hazor on day 3 and day 7." He says, "Look, I'm holding at day 3. We believe him. Mazen olav miyad. He gets immediate hazor. He's to be trusted, as opposed to Amoraites shebola hazois. He comes along. Ein mazen olav ad sheyase b'fenenu shlishi yishvi. We can't apply the paraduma war until he actually counts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in front of us. So even when it comes to his guf, you see he's not believed. Elam Rabbi, I'll tell you why he's believed in the case of tefillah. Mitoch chomer shechmart olav b'tchilasoy, hikalta olav b'sofei. You see, for this very reason, we're going to believe him when it comes to the tefillah. What does this mean? Since you're giving him a hard time when it comes to hazor, you make him count over. You have to start over. 1, 2, 3. So he takes it very seriously. So when he comes and he says, look, I did tefillah. I did a proper tefillah. You know, after the hazor, I did tefillah. We trust him because he doesn't want to go through his whole thing again. He gave him such a hard time that increases his focus. It makes him more serious, more cognizant of what has to be done. He doesn't want to have to go through this thing again. So this increased awareness allows us to really believe and have an emunah to the Amoraites when it comes to tefillah of tumas meis. Okay. So far what did we learn? We went back to the Mishnah where we discussed the halacha of being matbal kli b'toich kli. So the Mishnah says when it comes to kachem, you can't do it. And the reason was because the Amoraites might be watching him and might do the same thing. And might not do a proper tefillah. And we have no choice but to accept kodesh material from the Amoraites. So therefore we enacted a halacha. We established that when it comes to kachem, we're careful not to do kli b'toich kli, to avoid this type of situation. what's wrong with Kli B'Toch Kli? We have Rabbi Ila, who says it's a Chatzitza concern. We have Rabbi, who says concerns that the outside Kli might not be wide enough, might not have the shear of Shesheres Hanoid in its opening. And therefore, says the Gemara, if it's a large basket, a salver, a grisni, who never have that concern, then it's okay. Or if the outer Kli is also tummy, in which case you're being tevil the outer and the inner Kli together, it's considered one package deal, one masa tefillah, like one Kli. So it works irrespective of whether or not the outer Kli's mouth is wide enough. Okay, we concluded with the sugi of the ne'amonas for the Am Eretz when it comes to tefillah. Abaye tells us when it comes to his guf, he's ne'amon. The reason was because we make it so hard for him, he's very careful. According to Ravi, even by a Kli, his ne'amon, provided he tells us factually, he says, look, I never did Kli B'Toch Kli. I always take my time. I do one Kli at a time. So in that case, it's not a question of knowledge or expertise. It's a factual thing. He says, look, I never did Kli B'Toch Kli. We believe him. Acharayim B'Toch Beit HaSvita. This is the next Chumra in the Mishnah, the next Ma'ala. So you have a Kli which became Tami. The Kli has various segments to it. It has the inside, the toich, has the echaraim, the back, which you use as well, has a base at tzvita, which you're going to see soon. That's a place where you grab hold of it, has some sort of inverted handle. So if the kli became tamei, we separate different mekaymes. When it comes to using the kli for truma, we apply this kula and we say, look, only this part became tamei, not the other part. When it comes to kachem, we don't differentiate. It's one big package deal, it's one big kli. My echaraim v'toich. What does this mean that it has a chorayim v'toyach? Kedasnan, klisha nitma chorayim v'mashkin. So, mashkin over here is not metame midarais. We're speaking about wine, oil, which are, let's say, a rishon l'tuma. So it can't really affect the kli. Rather, it's only tame midarabbanon. We're concerned about the mashka, v'zava, which are considered avatuma, that can be metame kli. So since this kli only acquired tuma d'rabbanon, we allow for this distinction. Achoy of Tmei in the back is Tomei, but Toichoy, the inside, Oignoy, the lip area, Oznoy, some sort of like an ear, like a roundish handle, Vyodov is a long handle, Toirin, they remain Tor, because only the Achirayim of the Kli becomes Tomei, everything else remains Tor. We sort of split the use of the Kli. We have separate usages in the Kli, separate areas of use, we split it. Nitma Toicha, but let's say the interior becomes Tamei, Kulei Tamei, everything is Tamei, because the interior is the primary usage area of the Kli. When that becomes Tamei, everything gets included. And again, this only applies to Truma. When it comes to Kachem, or Machmer, we treat it as one big unit. So, how many elements do we have in a Kli? Acharayim, Toich, we have Eugen, Eisen, Yadav, we have a Besat Svita. What is that? My Besat Svita. We have two Pshatam. Our Yudam, our Shmuel, Makam Shet Soifte. Rashi says, the place where you are oiches boy umoshita lachem. That's the place where you grab hold of it in order to hand it to somebody else. This was a boyaz. Grab hold of a couple of kernels there and he handed it to Rus. So it's a place where you grab to hand over. Some sort of inverted area on the side of the kli. That's considered a separate usage area. Rav Asi or Rav Yechanan has a different gears on the Mishnah. Instead of beis atzvi ta with a tes, it's beis atzvi a with an ayin. Mokem she neki adas soivin. So neki adas are these finicky, sensitive people. Where do they dip their food? Where do they put their mayonnaise, their mustard? Not on their regular plate. So they put it inside some sort of dent, indentation inside this kli sitting there. That's where they dip their food. Tani rav bivi kameder nachm kol akelim ein lehem achurayim v'toich. We don't separate between acharayim and toich. Echad kodshei migdash, echad kodshei agvul, whether it applies to karbonis in the migdash, or things which are called kodshei agvul. Once one area becomes tamei, it's all-inclusive. It affects the entire kli. Amalei Rav Nachman asks him, kodshei agvul ma'inyanu, what do you mean kodshei agvul? Truma? Truma which is kodesh and eaten throughout all the boundaries, throughout the entire Klai Yisrael. The Mishnah says, otherwise, When it comes to truma, we differentiate between the different aspects of the kli. Maybe when you said the word kachi akvul, you didn't mean truma. Truma is exempted from this stringency. You meant chulin, which was looked after like kachin. So they used to do that. They used to try to get accustomed to keeping higher standards. So sometimes they used to take regular chulin and look after it like kachin. And the same halacha is applied to this type of item as well. And that's what you meant. Kachi akvul means chulin, which are found outside the mikdash, which were treated to this higher standards. At kartem nosa. So he tells him, look, I guess it was Rabbi Abai responding, yeah, actually, you remind me of something. The Amar Rabba Baravua Achas, maybe it was Nachman saying it, Achas Esrei Malas Shanukan. The truth is that there are 11 stringencies mentioned in the Mishnah. Sheish Rishonis, the first six, apply to both things, Bein LeKodesh, whether Mamish Kodesh, or Bein LeChulin, Shnasa Teres HaKodesh. Right? Exactly as we just said. That this Chumrah, which is number 2 in the Mishnah, right, applies to Kachim or to Kachi HaGvul, which we interpreted to be referring to Chulin Shnasa Teres HaKodesh, Acharonis. But the last 5 elements in the Mishnah, which are not as severe as we learned yesterday, because they don't really relate to Tumah Deraisa. So that's only LeKodesh, Mamish Karbonis, Avaloi LeChulin, Shanas Rotar Sakodesh has pretty much supported his pshat that when we say there's no chilik between Acharayim, Teichen, and etc. pertaining to Kachim and Kachi Gvul is referring to Chul and Shanasu Al Tara Sakodesh. Okay, let's do a quick chazar of today's daf. We discussed the first 2 halachas mentioned in the Mishnah. One is that you're not matbal kli b'toich kli when it comes to Kachim. But when it comes to Truma, we're okay with that. We gave 2 reasons. Either the concern is Chatzitza, or the concern is that he might inadvertently do the Tefillah of a Kli b'toich Kli when the outer Kli is too narrow to allow for that. The opening of the outer Kli is not wide enough to allow for proper flow, proper connection between the mikvah and the water within it. That's a problem. We only apply to Truma, not to Kachim. Sorry, only to Kachim, not to Truma. The reason is the Am Haaretz might be looking at him and imitating him. And we have no choice but to accept Kachim from the Am Haaretz. Therefore, we avoid the situation by avoiding this type of tefillah by Kachim altogether. By Truma, we're not concerned, because even if the Am Haaretz imitates him, we don't accept Truma from the Am Haaretz. We do, however, borrow Kalim from the Am Haaretz. But in that case, we'll just be tevil it again. Does the Am Haaretz have ne'emonis when it comes to tefillah, according to Abaye? For Gufa, yes. But not Kli, Rava says, it depends, sometimes by the Kli as well. He claims never to have ran into problematic situations. When it comes to the second halacha, Acharayim v'toicha beis atzvita, that too only applies to Kachim and not to Truma. But as the Gemara concludes, it applies to Kachim as well as to Chulin, Shanasu, Ataras HaKadosh. Hasachad Rabbi Tzvi and Psuras Tevis.